ladies and gentlemen, the following episode is scheduled for one fall. Coming down the aisle are your hosts of In the Click, Baby Huey and Ryan Tronick.
What's up, everybody? Baby Huey here, and joining me once again is my good brother, Tim from Pro Wrestling Unlimited. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I got the call from you or the text message, and you're like, hey, are you available? And I was like, of course. Always available to join Baby Huey on In the Click. Love doing this. Love talking wrestling with you. So anytime, I'm here, doing good, ready to go.
I truly appreciate the last minute call filling in tonight. And honestly, I'm looking at the clock right now. So to be fully honest, if you're watching this right now, but we're recording, it's a little after 9 o'clock Friday night, but in what, less than 5 hours our time, Elimination Chamber is going to happen for
the kickoff show. Because it's a pre-show match.
So this could be a quick turnaround. We're going to record our predictions for Elimination Chamber, which, as Tim just said, will get going in 4 hours live from Perth in Australia. And man, a lot to talk about. Once again, I do apologize to the Clicksters for kind of lack of episodes last few weeks. It's just been really busy at work with, for people who don't know, the Rock Station I work at in San Francisco. We're also the flagship of the 49ers. And we all know the Niners were very busy with their road to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they lost. But nonetheless, we were busy with a lot of events and projects with that. And so I chewed up a lot of my free time. But football season's done, and we're on the road to WrestleMania now. And that'll start, of course, in the January with the Royal Rumble. The next stop is Elimination Chamber. And then after that, Tim, it's pretty much like, what, 5-6 weeks of
seven.
Oh, damn. There it goes. Yeah, 7 weeks.
I literally counted it like an hour ago.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, 7 weeks till WrestleMania 40 live from Philadelphia. And, yeah, our favorite time of the year when it comes to WWE wrestling and their schedule and the premium live events. So, so much to talk about. What we're going to do is, we'll give our predictions for the matches and segments scheduled for Elimination Chamber. And then we'll kind of talk a little bit some of the other main stories that's been going on outside of Elimination Chamber and what is leading to WrestleMania. Of course, that means The Rock and our thoughts on the Bloodline, all that stuff. So, Tim, all right, let's jump right into it. Like I said, as soon as we're done recording, I got to turn this around, get it up there so people have enough time to listen and watch the show. Actually, are you going to watch the show live?
Oh, yeah, watch it live, and then as soon as it's over, maybe. No, I don't know if there's a press conference. They haven't said.
Okay.
But if there's no press conference, then I'll go live and do my review like 20 minutes later. If there's a press conference, then right after the press conference.
Gotcha. Yeah, two
late nights for me because I was up till like 4:30 a.m. yesterday with the New Japan show.
Oh, you watched that live?
Because I was like, Riddle's face of Tanahashi, Nick Nemeth in the main event with the title on the line. I might as well watch it. Plus, it was the second to last night for Okada. Tonight's his final night. So I'm like, it's actually got newsworthy stuff, and it was newsworthy by the end of it. So it was worth staying up for.
Gotcha. Yeah, I need to catch up on New Japan as far as the last show a couple weeks ago with the steel cage between Bullet Club and
great.
United Empire. A little interesting concept in their cage.
Yeah, here's the thing with that, though. So in that match, United Empire, super baby faces. Now, I know typically they're the heel group and this and that. Super baby faces. Then they come back last night and they're taking on the Chaos group and they're just super heels again. It felt weird after getting such a... just there were super baby faces, everybody. Like, not just like a couple of them. They were all super baby faces in that War Games match, essentially, against the Bullet Club. And then they're just right back to where they were. Heels against Chaos and healing it up and everything. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. It was a one-time thing, but it's kind of weird. Like, keep them baby faces for a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just fell off.
You're right, because I was at the New Japan show, Battle in the Valley in San Jose, a few weeks ago, last month, I guess, technically. But yes, you know, I saw Bullet Club or... what's their name? Wild Dogs. This era of Bullet Club is their faction is called War Dogs. But yeah, I was watching them battle United Empire that night, going back and forth and attacking them. Finley attacking Osprey, all that stuff. So yeah, you're right. United Empire normally is a heel faction, but against Bullet Club, they're currently baby faces. So yeah, it was a very interesting night to see all the matches and leading up to these matches this month for New Japan. But speaking of live shows, we should touch on this real quick. You and I both had a very eventful weekend. Last weekend, I went to the house show for WWE at Oakland Arena last Saturday night. You went the following night in Fresno.
Yeah.
I think you and I pretty much saw the exact same show as far as matches, but just different order.
I think there was one match in yours that ran in the beginning before the intermission, and then it was like flipped with another match in mine. Something like that. The order was flipped for like two matches.
Gotcha. Well, for the Clicksters who should be watching on YouTube, by the way, please subscribe to In the Clicks YouTube channel. Give this video a thumbs up, leave a comment, share it, all that good stuff. But yes, if you're watching the video, you can see the shirt I got that night, the tour shirt with all the kind of the big names of the current WWE roster. And I know, Tim, you said you got one as well.
My daughter got one. I didn't get anything. I was like, you guys can get stuff. I got awesome. My daughter got that shirt. My son got a Cody Rhodes hat.
Ah, there you go. Very cool. So, but yeah, no, very fun. I mean, God, for a house show near 7,000 people in Oakland, and yours was
almost
like
10,000. It was like 92, 93, something like that. 9,300
for a house show
with nothing special.
Yes.
I'm going to be completely honest. Nothing special. Here's the weird thing. The Fresno show, I don't know about the Oakland show. For some reason, the Fresno show sold over 2,000 tickets in the last week. And it's like nothing new got announced. They didn't we've known it was Cody Nakamura in the main event for a little while. We knew, you know, this person is going to be on the show. But it was not like they all of a sudden said, so-and-so is going to be here.
Here's my thing, and we can get to it later when we talk about the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, and what's going on with WrestleMania and Cody Rhodes. I'll just, the headline here, Cody Rhodes needs to win the title at WrestleMania, because after what I saw and you saw last weekend, he is so over with the WWE Universe. Keep in mind, these are house shows, and neither champion was there. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, neither one were there. Gunther was there defending the IC title, which ultimately turned to a 6-man tag. No US title. Men's tag team titles, women's tag team titles. The Kabuki Warriors were there, but Asuka was just doing a singles match. So what I'm getting at, no major title defenses other than Gunther. None of the world champions were there, but the place was packed just to see Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
He is a white hot baby face. Like, you got to capitalize on this momentum.
So I said this Monday when I did my Monday Night Raw review, and I was kind of talking about being at the show, and I said this on Twitter. I've seen John Cena live a bunch of times. Like, I've seen John Cena live at a couple SmackDowns, but mainly all house shows, because we haven't had a television taping here since 2018. And then even before that, we would sometimes get SmackDowns, but it's mainly house shows. So I've seen John Cena in a lot of house shows. And I've seen John Cena at a couple TV tapings. I felt like the Cody reaction that he got at the house show was maybe a bigger. Now, John Cena would get the John Cena sucks, let's go Cena back and forth stuff. But it's just a pure, we're going to cheer this guy. It's nothing more than a babyface reaction that may have been the biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like in person, other than when I was at WrestleMania 31, of course. That's the biggest show I've ever been at, but.
Yeah, like I was amazed for a house show that didn't have neither world champion. So the star power of world champions be on the show was not present. People packed the house just to see Cody Rhodes. And let's be honest, there was a lot of the big name stars on the roster, non-champions, who weren't on the show as well. It was
a mid-card show, to be completely honest.
Yes. I mean, Cody was the biggest name. Yeah,
other than Cody, everybody else is, and no offense,
I love Gunther.
New Day's great. They're all great. But it's like there was no quote unquote main eventer on the show other than Cody and Nakamura.
Yeah. So like I said, it just shows how red hot WWE is as a brand, as a company, as a product. But Cody Rhodes as a wrestler, as a baby face for this company.
Oh, yeah.
You got to capitalize on this momentum he has, and he needs to win at WrestleMania.
So
I can go on.
So I'm pretty sure you may have already saw this on social media. But did you see what Cody did when he jumped into the crowd at the Fresno show?
Where the blind girl with the sign?
Yeah, so the girl had the sign. She's like,
it was your video.
Yeah, my video was the one going around. A couple of other people had the video angles. Of it as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, there's one from the floor right down there. But mine's the one that got shit around the most. And I'm glad I went because I bought my ticket literally an hour before the show started. I wasn't going to go.
Oh, my God.
All full transparency. I usually sit in, so like we usually sit in what's called the like the 130 section or whatever, where we're looking straight at the ring and the stage. That's where we usually sit, about halfway up or so.
Yeah.
Now, this is the first year that I can remember that the bowl was even open. Like usually the top bowl for the Fresno is not open.
It's like and the so, 200 section?
Yeah, okay. the very top. And so when I looked at tickets a while ago, those were the same prices that I used to pay to sit, you know, down. Mm. Those were the $50 tickets instead of down there. And so I'm like, no. And then about an hour and a half before the show started, I just like, I'm going to look one more time. And they got dropped to $25 a piece. And I'm like, kids, you want to go? And they're like, yeah, let's go. Get in the car. We got to go now.
Awesome. Okay.
So, yeah. It was a last minute decision. We got in there. The kids wanted a drink. So we waited in line to get a drink. And then we missed like the first 2 minutes of LA Knight and Solo Sikoa.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I was dealing with traffic getting into Oakland Arena's parking lot. Mm. And so by the time my brother and I got in, LA Knight just won and was celebrating the ring. So I was like, oh, I miss my buddy, my new friend, friend of the show. Which, by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, please go watch the previous video. Watch my interview with LA Knight. For a less than 15-minute interview, we cover a lot of just the major stuff he's been through in the last year. With WWE, he talked about Bray Wyatt, his feud with Roman Reigns, the Royal Rumble match, even the little controversy him and Grayson Waller had in Australia with the Australian news reporter, that shot of on SmackDown last year with Roman Reigns' reflection on his sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about all that stuff. So please watch my interview with LA Knight as well. So, that would be very helpful.
Did you see the Austin Theory stuff with the Australian news reporter?
Yeah. I
got Vader vibes.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I told LA Knight. Like, dude, you remind me of Vader and Undertaker or Schultz and the guy from ABC.
Stossel.
So, yeah, no, he laughed and because he tweeted out a photo and he's like, I tweeted a photo. I was like, yeah, that's so cool. So, but yeah, just dude, last weekend, just WWE's on a whole new level right now.
Here's something that'll make you laugh. So my kids know wrestling, like they know most of the wrestlers and this and that. So we get in there, my daughter, first thing she goes, Bailey going to be here? I said, no. Becky Lynch going to be here? No. Well, then what girls are going to be wrestling? And I told her. And so she's like, oh, okay, I know who Asuka is. Because like she watches, but she doesn't like watch enough to know who all the wrestlers are.
Okay.
And so they come out for the Asuka Michin match, and she literally looks at me and goes, what? Michin? Like me? Chin? And she grabs her face. I'm like, yeah, you're right, basically.
Yes. Which is still kind of confusing for me. It's like Michin or Mia Yim. People kind of say both, and I mean, I get it's like her nickname. So, but no, very, very funny. You gotta tell Mia Yim that one day. You gotta tell her about that story. Right? So, but yeah, no, a lot of fun and obviously just great momentum leading into Elimination Chamber, which is, like I said, in a few hours right now. So let's jump into it. So they announced a pre-show, a kickoff match, which normally WWE hasn't done many of those in the Triple H booking era of his time ahead of creative. But it was announced they had the Kabuki Warriors will defend the Women's Tag Team Championship against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, which is very exciting for Indy Hartwell because she is from Australia as well. I know Rhea Ripley's getting a lot of the attention. Did you watch the press event last night? Okay. So, yeah, Rhea Ripley obviously headlined that. That was just hyping up the show for this weekend. And the main focus is Rhea Ripley being from Australia, also Grayson Waller. But, yeah, keep in mind, Indy Hartwell and unfortunately, Bronson Reed, as of this moment.
When they announced this match, they go, oh, we're going to get a random Bronson Reed match too, but nothing. Because I thought, okay, they want all the Australian wrestlers on there. We'll give Bronson Reed some sort of a squash or something, like a showcase match. Nothing.
But he's not on because supposedly his wife is about to give birth or something.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I saw something where he like said something, but I never looked into it because I didn't have time.
Yeah, like I think a lot of people thought he was going to be in this match, but I believe his wife is about to give birth. So I think unfortunately he just couldn't travel. So it's it's very unfortunate just because, you know, how often WWE go to Australia. So
right.
It's a little bummer for him, but obviously, hey, big picture, he's about to be a dad. So that's really cool. So, all right. So Tim, I'll turn it to you. Kind of who you think's going to win here. I mean, I feel like a lot of these matches are pretty predictable, but
for the most part,
we'll talk about it, but yeah, who you think's going to walk away here?
Well, I think this is a great match for Indy Hartwell. She's going to be there. I would assume she's going to have, well, I don't know what part of Australia she's from, but I would hope she can have family there. I don't know, you know, how far from, well, two things. You don't know how far in advance she was told she's getting this match. Cause you got to think, why were her and Candace even there if they didn't? Well, I guess a lot of people got brought there just to do press, like Austin Theory and so forth. But it's like, how far
Shayna in advance? Baszler, Shayna Baszler's there too. Yeah.
How far in advance did she know she was getting this match, and how far away does her family live? Because even if she's losing, which I'm predicting Kabuki Warriors retain the titles, even if she's losing, it'd be cool to have her family there just to at least watch live in person.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is I know the match got announced today, and there was like a video on Twitter of Adam Pearce like sitting down next to both of them saying, hey, you have a match.
Technically, they announced it during the press event yesterday, and then this afternoon they put out that video. So
Gotcha.
Why they didn't put the video out right after the press event or something.
Yeah.
Or first thing this morning, which is kind of weird, but they put it out like, I don't know, noon, 1 o'clock East Coast or what, Pacific time or something like that. I was like, that's weird.
So, but yes, I'm with you. I think Kabuki Warriors are going to retain. Also, keep in mind, kind of looking at SmackDown tonight, we saw Dakota Kai was injured. She said she was attacked by Damage Control.
Swerve. I'm calling a swerve on that.
Absolutely. Yes.
She ain't cleared yet. She ain't working no match.
So her and Bailey were in the back in the medical area, and they're going to tag. And it was, you know, the little preview card for next week's SmackDown. It's going to be Bailey and Dakota Kai versus Kabuki Warriors for the women's tag team title. So is that kind of spoiling already who's going to win this match here? Like Kabuki Warriors.
It's not a title match. It's not a title match.
Oh, not a title match?
And Corey Graves even said it on SmackDown. We don't even know if the Kabuki Warriors will still have the tag titles by next week, but the match will still happen.
Okay, good. Okay, go. Okay, so
yeah,
I had the TV on. I missed that part. So okay, good. Okay, good. Because I was going to say a little attention to detail right there. But I'm with you. I think Kabuki Warriors are going to retain. I think they're not going to drop those titles on a kickoff match. I think if anything, WrestleMania is a bigger stage for a title change.
Right.
With that being said. So next up for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship, we got the Judgment Day, which is Finn Balor and Damian Priest taking on New Catch Republic, which is the new name of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, a.k.a. British Strong Style, which what do you think about the name New Catch Republic? I think a lot of people are like, why can't I call it British Strong Style?
Yeah, they own the, I looked it up. They own the trademark still of British Strong Style. Yeah. So it's not like Trent Seven has it or something, because that's what some people thought. Maybe Trent Seven had trademarked it or something. No, WWE's got the trademark. And so it's like, use that name, because like they've got New Catch Republic. Then they've got, I don't know the full name, but it's like something Catch in NXT with Drew Gulak's group. They're a Catch name or whatever. So it's like, got two groups with Catch in it. And yeah, I don't know. British Strong Style's known. So it's like we're not trying to learn something new. And I don't know. I like that name better anyways. New Catch Republic, what does it mean? Are they going to do more technical stuff then? Because catch or catch wrestling, and I get it, that's the British thing. You say we do catch wrestling in the UK.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I like British Strong Style better.
Yeah, and it just looks cool. It looks, sounds cooler and for merchandise and stuff. And, you know, you think of, Strong Style for Japan wrestling. So but yeah, no, I'm kind of like, I think a lot of people are like, well, what side this name? But anyway, this match here, I think Judgment Day is going to retain.
Yeah.
Just because, like I said, I no offense to Elimination Chamber. I know WWE in the last few years, they treat Elimination Chamber kind of like Royal Rumble 2.0 as far as setting up matches for WrestleMania, like having big stakes there, but that's mostly with just the chamber matches by itself. It's like a second chance for someone to get a title shot. I mean, I know they kind of mix it up, the stipulations for different chambers for different years. Like 1 year is for what the US was, no,
Last year was for the U.S. belt.
Yeah, last year for the U.S. title, yeah. And 1 year was for like the women's tag titles. You know, mm-hmm. they'll mix up, but for the most part, it's usually for number one contender for a title, and it's usually the one that's not chosen for the Royal Rumble winner.
Year, if you remember, last year we only had one world title. Cody picked it. Yeah. They had to do something for the men.
Exactly. So, yeah, with that being said here, I feel like a major title change should be happening on the WrestleMania stage. So that's why ultimately I just think Judgment Day is going to retain here.
You want to hear my fantasy book on why I think Judgment Day has to retain at Elimination Chamber? Because they're going to drop them titles at WrestleMania to the Awesome Truth. Think of that pop when Truth beats them for the tag titles at Mania.
It's almost like Sami Zayn 2.0, like last year, because ultimately R-Truth is playing the role of Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn to the Bloodline is what R-Truth is to Judgment Day, but obviously R-Truth is a little more goofy, comedic. Sami Zayn was definitely much more serious, but nonetheless, it's like this outcast trying to be part of this group who gets in, but then ultimately gets kicked out, and it leads to the big payoff match at WrestleMania. So, I did not think about that. Yeah, tag match. Because I was like, I was thinking eventually something's going to happen. Damian Priest, they've been teasing it that he might be on his way out of Judgment Day, or there'll be some friction, or the group's finally going to break up at some point or dissolve, or at least someone's going to break off.
Unfortunately.
I think Damian Priest is going to be that person. So I'm just looking ahead. Losing the tag titles at WrestleMania could be that breaking point or lead to some more tension. But yeah, I was trying to think though, who could be the tag team that they face? It's like, yeah, what are the options? But I guess it does make sense on Raw. Miz or R-Truth has been working with Miz again, and in his mind, DX, but it's DIY. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. But I kind of that would be a huge pop for R-Truth because he has not won. He's only been like 24/7 champion in the last few years. So. I guess, that would be cool for him to kind of win something on a big stage like that. And the crowd would pop.
He's like, I don't know how it was for your live event you were at. I feel like other than Cody and then Nakamura, because they sang his song.
Yes.
Truth got the second/third biggest pop of the night when he ran out and said, Carlito tagged me into a singles match.
Against Austin Theory. Yeah, you're right. Like that pop was huge. I mean, God, for a guy in his early 50s, what a career.
Truth still got some speed because his music hit. I looked up at the stage. He was already at the ring. And I'm like, where'd you come from?
And the other thing, well, by the way, he's been hysterical today on Twitter. He said, where's everybody? I'm here in Austria. Where's the hotel's empty? The streets are no one's at the arena. Where's everybody? So very funny. He's in Austria and everyone's in Australia. So hopefully Truth finds his way back to the U.S. at some point. So very funny. So Judgment Day should retain here. All right, let's go. We'll save the Chambers matches last. So next up, singles match for the Women's World Championship. We got Rhea Ripley from Australia taking on Nia Jax here. And we saw the press conference yesterday. That was the last segment from that from the press conference, the two of them going at it. I've been liking what they've been doing. Nia Jax, I give Triple H credit or the powers that be. Nia Jax's current run has been much better than her previous years with the company. She's been, she beat Becky Lynch not too long ago. She's been getting big wins and she's been working safe for the most part. this run has been very successful. I think a lot of people are coming around thinking she is a legit badass in the ring when used properly. And they've been succeeding with her, and she's now been built up as a real credible threat against Rhea Ripley.
I mean,
but
she got a better match out of Maxine Dupri two nights in a row than Rhea Ripley did on a Raw.
Really?
Well, did she not have a good match with Maxine in Oakland?
Yeah.
So I saw the clips. The Fresno match was better. Maxine didn't sell as stiff as a board like she did the night before.
Okay.
Someone smartened her up. When she took that annihilator drop, she actually sold it.
Yeah. Yeah. The next night.
So she didn't pull Stacy Keibler.
But no, it was it was very fun. Maxine, I give her credit. You could tell she's using these house shows to get more reps in and work on her in-ring stuff. So it was a very fun match, you know, just Nia dominating against Maxine and throwing her around, and Maxine getting kind of like a second chance trying to get back, but Nia ultimately picks up the win. So Nia's been booked very strong, which is very important because Rhea Ripley's been so dominant for the last year since she won at WrestleMania last year against Charlotte Flair. So once again, I think Rhea Ripley's going to retain here because I think a title change, if there's going to be a title change with that Women's World Championship, it's going to be at WrestleMania, a big stage like that. So, another kind of predictable win here for Rhea Ripley, but it should be a lot of fun. And your thoughts on the outcome, but also, do you think this could main event be the last match of the night?
I do.
Okay.
I think that this goes on last just because of where they're at. If it was anywhere else in the world, it wouldn't go on last. Because they're in Australia, I think it goes on last. The last thing you're going to see is Rhea holding up that belt, and then whoever wins the Women's Chamber maybe comes out to confront her. Or they do the Women's Chamber match right before, and that person stays out there next to commentary or with commentary and be like, hey, so who do you want to face? This and that, and you're going to, that'd be a cool way to do it. The winner of the Chamber is out there on commentary going, I don't care, I'll face either of them. Now, because they're in Australia, Rhea's got to win. But I would say if they were anywhere else, maybe Nia does win for that shock factor. But because they're in Australia, you got to go Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, exactly. So, but nonetheless, be very happy for Rhea Ripley. She was getting kind of emotional yesterday at the press conference. She was trying to, you could getting choked up, which was very cool to see that she's just, this really means a lot to her to, first time back in Australia wrestling in 7 years. So this is a very cool weekend for her and very happy for her for that. Another segment, non-wrestling match that was announced, that the Grayson Waller effect. It's going to be Grayson Waller, another fellow Australian. While he's not wrestling, at least he's going to get a moment to shine in front of everyone there at the stadium. And he's going to be hosting his TV show or talk show with Cody Rhodes and world champion Seth freaking Rollins. I'm kind of curious how this is going to play out. We saw Grayson Waller host a Waller Effect last year, Money in the Bank in London, and John Cena came out. It's going to be interesting what they're going to try to accomplish in this segment here. Looking at SmackDown tonight, we saw Roman Reigns in the back. He had Paul Heyman go out, get Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller was hanging with Logan Paul and Austin Theory. Paul Heyman takes him back to Roman's office, whatever you want to call his room. And they have a conversation and you don't hear what, the camera cuts away.
Yeah.
What do you suspect Roman's plan here or what he's trying to hire Grayson Waller to do?
Well, I don't think he wants Grayson Waller to attack either of them or try to take Seth out and like injure Seth or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think what he wants Grayson Waller to do is be the little smarmy heel that he is and try to cause dissension between Seth and Cody. So they maybe coming out of the Grayson Waller effect, and I could be wrong here, but maybe Roman wants him to do something that can lead to Roman hoping that they're not going to want to work together coming out of the Elimination Chamber event.
Gotcha.
That something's going to piss them off at each other. And then Cody's going to go, you ain't my shield. I don't want to know. You're not going to be helping me out. And then ultimately it's not going to succeed though.
Yeah, because which we'll talk about later, but rumors are could it be night one WrestleMania tag team match with Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody and Seth, and so maybe that can lead the early tension between the two baby faces here, Cody and Seth. Like Grayson can try to get under their skin and try to divide them. So okay, I can see that, but yes, I feel like it's gonna. That's ultimately what this segment's going to do. I think it's going to just kind of add a new story beat for the build for whatever the WrestleMania main event night one's going to be. And, potentially, there's going to be something there that's probably going to get people talking. So, I mean, other than that, who knows? We can talk and guess what we want. But obviously, we'll just wait and see in a few hours. So, all right. Next up, we have the first of two Elimination Chamber matches. We got the Women's World Championship match. Oh, excuse me. The winner of this Elimination Chamber match will become the new number one contender for the Women's World Championship. We got Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Raquel Rodriguez, which Triple H, did he screw up and said Raquel Gonzalez?
Yeah, okay. He messed up. And I immediately went to the website and was like, they changed your name? They changed it. Nope, it's still Rodriguez.
He's thinking of NXT.
Right.
The black and gold era for him.
Like, okay, give Butch his name back. Pete Dunne, that's fine. But Raquel Rodriguez, it's a normal name. We're used to it by now. Yeah. It's fine. Just like everyone's like, Butch got Pete Dunne back. Are we getting Walter back instead of Gunther? No, they're kind of similar. You can keep him as Gunther.
Yeah, exactly. So, this match came to be after a ton of qualifying matches on Raw and SmackDown, which I enjoyed. It was like Raw versus a SmackDown competitor. And then we got some crossover SmackDown people wrestling on Raw and vice versa, Raw people being on SmackDown. So it was a kind of nice way to freshen things up for WWE television the last few weeks of just different new faces on opposite shows. I feel like this one seems kind of obvious who the winner is, and I have my guess, and I'm guessing you have your guess too, and it's kind of been building for a long time.
They told us at the WrestleMania kickoff event.
Yeah, exactly. So a couple weeks ago, you know, before the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, they had the big WrestleMania press conference, and Becky Lynch confronted or Rhea Ripley on stage. Yeah. They had the little face off there, so it was kind of foreshadowing that their paths are going to cross and lead to a potentially match at WrestleMania. So it kind of seems predictable who's going to be the winner here. And this is Becky's first time in an Elimination Chamber match. I was like thinking back. I was like,
she's usually the champion.
Yeah, exactly. So
because she's usually champion, or she had that year where she was out because she had the baby.
Exactly. So I think Becky Lynch is the hands down favorite to win here and just get her star power going after that women's world title against Rhea Ripley. And you got two of the biggest names in the women's division on Raw going at it at WrestleMania 40, which I assume you think the same thing as well for the outcome here.
Becky Lynch. But the question is, could this match, because I know I want it with the men's match, could this match set up any, coming out of it, set up any other Mania matches?
Exactly. And that's what I was going to ask. It's like, let's look at the other competitors, because
I don't think so, though, is my problem.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, there's a lot of competitors here. I don't know what their paths are going to be for WrestleMania, or are they going to be used for WrestleMania? That's the big question. I mean, case in point, Bianca Belair. This is the first time in a few years her path to WrestleMania is not really defined yet.
I think she does something either against or teaming with Jade.
Okay. It's because
maybe at Mania her and Jade win the tag titles, or they challenge for the tag titles. I would think Jade doesn't lose, so maybe they beat the Kabuki Warriors for the tag titles at Mania.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. It's like Bianca Belair, normally she's either been the champion or going after a title at WrestleMania the last few years between all her various matches with Sasha Banks, and last year was with Asuka last year. So
I don't know if it's 100% true, but there was a rumor that her and Charlotte were supposed to be linked up for Mania doing something, whether that was together or against each other. And now with Charlotte out, that's kind of put her into a, we got to figure something new out.
Limbo. Yeah. Which I would have loved, because technically, and this is a question I've asked Bianca Belair multiple times, I kind of feel like it's, what's the word I'm trying to think? She's been defeating every member of the Four Horsewomen. That's what I'm getting at here. She's defeated Becky Lynch at Mania. She defeated not Bayley at WrestleMania, but like they had feuds before. So she's beaten Bayley before, and she beat Sasha Banks at WrestleMania. So I feel like Charlotte is the last member of the Four Horsewomen that Bianca has yet to beat for a title or just beat in general. So I feel like that would have been the match if Charlotte was healthy, was Bianca versus Charlotte at WrestleMania, but obviously Charlotte's out now. So, but I do feel kind of bad. I feel like Bianca's path to WrestleMania is a little unclear. and what the direction is. So I hope, you know, we'll see after Elimination Chamber what happens. But the same can be said for a lot of these women. You know, Liv Morgan just came back from injury. Who knows what her path's going to be? Same for Naomi, Raquel, even Tiffany Stratton, who's new to the SmackDown brand from being called up from NXT. Unless, you know, they kind of maybe throw them all together for multi-women's match, you know, babyfaces versus heels or something.
I mean, you could do like you did last year and do the men's and women's tag team showcase matches.
It was like four tag teams, right? Was it?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, easy way to get eight people, men and women, on the show at, you know, just during a match together. So
granted, I think they should bring back the Battle Royals for the pre-show. Do the men's on one night and the women's on the other.
Yeah, they could totally. That'd be great idea too. So, yeah, I mean, that's my big question here is like coming after this Elimination Chamber match where a lot of these women's paths are
right
to WrestleMania. So we shall wait and see. All right. Last match here for Elimination Chamber. This is the men's Elimination Chamber match, and the winner will become the new number one contender for a World Heavyweight Championship match against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 40. We got Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. And the one thing that just jumps out right away for me, Tim, is it's all SmackDown people except for Drew McIntyre from Raw. So right. I don't know if that's like the obvious choice. Who's going to win here is Drew McIntyre. Just for the sake of conversation, do you see anyone else having a chance at winning this Elimination Chamber match?
So I don't think so, but Seth did an interview and was like, I want Randy to win because I want to face Randy again at a WrestleMania.
Okay.
I don't think that happens, but unless you have a different path for Drew McIntyre, whether that is a Sami Zayn match or something, then the other name that I would think that wins this is Randy Orton. It's either Drew McIntyre or Randy Orton. I'm going to lean Drew McIntyre. But again, like I said, we don't know what they're doing with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has been slightly feuding with McIntyre. Granted, he said on Monday, I'm putting my feud with McIntyre on hold.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're not going Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre. But I think Drew McIntyre wins the Elimination Chamber, faces Seth at WrestleMania. Now, the big question one last thing. Does Drew win at WrestleMania? The big thing is, if he's re-signed, I'd say Drew wins. If he's not yet re-signed, Drew doesn't win.
Exactly. That is a major hiccup in this situation here, is Drew's real-life status with the company and what's next for him. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, because if you look at the landscape for someone like Drew McIntyre, you know, his buddy Miro is over in AEW. Sheamus has not been on TV, and he's been kind of voicing, you know, various, been kind of venting on Twitter. And so it makes you wonder what Sheamus' status is going to be with the company. You know, could he, I've heard rumors of, you know, his contract status and stuff. So I wonder, you know, would he be someone to leave WWE to? So, you know, all these buddies, and I say this because if you look, when Sheamus got married, Drew Cesaro, right, or excuse me, Claudio Miro, they're all in his wedding party. So they're all buddies. So I could totally see a bunch of them all go to AEW and just be all friends wrestling over there. But so with Drew, I'm really curious what his long-term goals are or what he wants to accomplish. Obviously, I think the big thing is getting that payday, get that money, get a big contract. And I think Drew deserves it, especially just the great character work he's done over the last year. And I don't want to see Drew leave. I love Drew McIntyre. I want to see him in WWE. I want to see him succeed and just keep this character going. And most importantly, I want to see Drew win a world championship in front of a big crowd. He deserves that after not getting that opportunity 4 years ago during COVID when he won the world title from the WWE title from Brock Lesnar in front of no one. So I know he's a heel. So theoretically, if he was to win, he wins as a heel, but I'm sure the crowd will still cheer for him just for getting that moment. The other thing, too, is if Drew does win here, this is kind of like a little bit of a happy accident for him, because
big time.
The original plan was CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, and the reports were CM Punk was supposed to win this Elimination Chamber match. So it's kind of CM Punk's injury from Royal Rumble is Drew McIntyre's gain potentially if he wins here and gets a world title shot. So, and you know, Drew's lost to Seth twice in the last couple months in their various matches between Crown Jewel and that one episode of Raw Day One. So I really want Drew McIntyre to win, and I really want to see him win against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Before Day One, because Day before, One was the gender match where Seth got hurt.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry. Excuse me. But still, you know, it's like, I really want Drew to win. And finally, I get as a heel, the character beat here is like, he's like being cocky or not like, you know, he's losing because he's not focused. Yeah, and
correct.
So I really want to see Drew win.
But here's the thing. He's the heel speaking nothing but the truth. If you think about it,
well, he's a hater. Everyone's calling it. Like I said, I really want Drew to win. I this is a pretty stacked lineup as far as recognizable names, all stars from the main event scene in WWE in the last couple of years. Obviously, Randy Orton's back. Bobby Lashley, LA Knight's been just red hot for the last year. Kevin Owens, he's always just at the top. And Logan Paul, who's been, I like at the press conference, he says, I want to win so I can beat Seth Rollins, get a rematch at WrestleMania against him. And I win, become a double champion. So it's this is a really cool star power elimination chamber match here. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, I just feel like, Drew McIntyre should be the favorite to win here. And and it makes sense. Like I said, Seth's on Raw, Drew's on Raw. So you kind of, their schedules are going to be the same anyway. So if it's from a storyline standpoint. So
I mean, it doesn't matter Raw or SmackDown because you look at the Rumble and it goes, Cody's a Raw guy that's facing the SmackDown champion.
Yeah,
so at least there's that reasoning on if a SmackDown guy does win. That's why I said, like, maybe Randy, if they have something else for Drew, but I don't think they have something else for Drew. Here's my thing. Kevin Owens pins Logan Paul to get his rematch at Mania.
See, that's okay. Well, let's talk about that like we did with the women's. If Drew's path is Seth Rollins, for the rest of these guys, what are their paths to WrestleMania? It's kind of up in the air. Like, I know a lot of fans, and I asked LA Knight this. I said, hey, a lot of people, I follow a lot of podcasts and news sites and all that stuff, and people are trying to do their fantasy booking for WrestleMania, and a lot of people want LA Knight versus Logan Paul. So I asked him his thoughts. Would you want Logan Paul? Because I asked the question, actually, you tipped off to me the day before, but his comments off air at a house show that he wants to win a title this year.
Right.
And he said, like, I want to win a title. It could be US title, IC title. So he did express interest. If his path is Logan Paul for the US title, he's open to that. So
I just feel like since the Rumble, they're still playing up hard Logan Paul and Kevin Owens not being done.
Exactly. I saw that too. So I wonder, could they do Logan Paul, Kevin Owens on a random episode of SmackDown just to kind of cool off that feud?
Or Kevin eliminates Logan, LA Knight eliminates Kevin. Kevin then comes out and says, hey, Paul, Logan Paul, I eliminated you. I want a rematch. Then LA Knight comes out and goes, why do you get a rematch? I pinned and beat you. And then maybe Nick Aldis comes out and goes, I'm going to make it a three-way. And both of you get a shot.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So you do a three-way with Kevin Owens and LA Knight getting a shot at the U.S. title.
Yeah, and then I'm curious, though, where's AJ Styles fall in this? Because him and LA Knight have been kind of going back and forth post-Royal Rumble. So
I was shocked that they didn't have AJ on the Raw that LA Knight qualified on to try and get involved because LA Knight got involved in his qualifying match. So that really like threw me off with like maybe they're not doing anything anymore.
Yeah, so Randy Orton, what's his path to WrestleMania? Who knows?
Maybe it's him and AJ. Maybe they set up a Randy Orton AJ Styles match.
Yeah. And then Bobby Lashley tonight on SmackDown, Street Profits lost to AOP from the Last Testament. That's the faction for
well, Bobby's going in, quote unquote, injured.
Yeah. So they attacked him and he was backstage getting his elbow all.
Yeah.
Unless he can't wrestle, and that's where Bronson Reed comes in. But he's probably not actually in Australia. But,
well, I mean, he got physical at the very end of the show, so I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
but I think if they do an injury angle with anybody, they throw Sami Zayn in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm guessing Bobby Lashley, WrestleMania, probably what, six-man tag? It'd probably be him, Street Profits versus Final Testament. That's probably what's going to happen for them. And okay, so that takes care of all of them. What's next? I'm curious, where Sami Zayn falls in all this, because he's really trying to be, wants to be a champion. So,
that's what I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
So Sami Zayn has been saying for weeks, I want to go after the world title. But then this past Monday on Raw, he changed it to, I'm promising the fans I will win a championship at WrestleMania. He changed it from world championship to a championship. Gunther don't got Brock anymore. I think they go Gunther and Sami Zayn.
That could be
Sami winning.
Dethrones Gunther. Mm-hmm. Wow. So 2 years in a row, Sami gets a big title win. Last year, tag titles. This year, Gunther.
Him three-time Intercontinental Champion if he wins.
First time as a baby face.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, I'm excited for Elimination Chamber. It's the last stop on the road to WrestleMania, because from here on out, for the next 6-7 weeks, as you said, it's just going to be episodes of Raw and SmackDown, just building up to WrestleMania and what the matches are. And yeah, it's going to be very exciting. Real quick, though, let's talk about just WrestleMania, what's been announced so far, which technically it's two matches. We'll talk women's first. So Bayley won the Women's Royal Rumble match, and after just kind of, undecided where she's going to go, ultimately a few weeks ago on SmackDown, she told Damage Control that she's like, well, one, she caught them backstage talking S about her. And then in the ring, she revealed that she can speak some Japanese and knew that didn't have her back all this time. And it ultimately led to her being jumped, kicked out of Damage Control, and then following week, she helped Dakota Kai with the chair and defended off Damage Control. So Bayley's going to challenge Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship here. So what do you think about this storyline that's been going so far with Bayley and Damage Control?
I actually really like it. I think it's been done very well.
Mm-hmm.
And now the whole thing, like next week, she's supposed to, quote unquote, team with Dakota. We never saw Dakota actually get attacked. So maybe the attack was fake. Mm-hmm. Then in real life, Dakota still hasn't been cleared from what we know. And so it's like, she can't work a tag match next week anyways.
And so could it be like, that's where Dakota reveals she's like the true mastermind.
Yeah.
And like Damage Control jumps Bayley, and it's like,
she's the new leader of Damage Control, not Bayley. She's like, I've been running Damage Control from the sidelines for the last year and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So that'll be interesting to see if that's what happens next week on SmackDown. So a lot to look forward to. All right. Men's Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes wins again, back-to-back Royal Rumble winner. And I feel like this has been talked to death for the last few weeks, this Cody, Roman, Rock situation here.
Well, did you read the latest, what Meltzer wrote in The Observer this week?
I saw on Twitter someone summed it up.
Yeah.
So, we could kind of go over the highlights from that. So, Cody wins the Royal Rumble. Shows up this SmackDown, reveals he doesn't. And I know if people who are listening to this, you probably already know what happened, but I'm just paraphrasing or quickly summing up. Says, I want that title, but not right now, not at WrestleMania. Ultimately gives his spot to The Rock. The Rock and Roman face off. That's it. Then they have the press conference in Las Vegas, and Rock, Roman are talking to each other, and Roman agrees to challenge The Rock. Or wants The Rock to challenge him for his title at WrestleMania. Cody calls BS and says, you know what? If your grandfather saw you guys right now, he'd be disappointed in just how you guys have been acting. Rock, that turned Rock's attitude, like, whoa, if you talk about his blood, you're talking about my blood. Don't talk ass about our family. Smack Cody, turn to a little chaos. And ultimately, it looked like Rock and Roman are on the same page now, walking out of the ring together. Rock really looking like the big brother with Roman trailing behind him as the little brother.
Roman over here looking like the little loose.
Yes. And then SmackDown last week, Roman officially announced The Rock is part of the bloodline. The Rock comes out looking like 1998 Rock with the sunglasses and got the like $500 vests on, fancy vest that you would see, like, similar to the shirts he used to wear in the 90s.
The $500 shirt.
Yes. So, and pretty much got old school rock promo in the ring. So let's, before we kind of get into all the Cody stuff, what are your thoughts on just, God, there's so many different directions. There's so many layers because it's so convoluted right now. Let's start with the Rock's promo last week. What are your thoughts on old school Rock returning?
So I liked it. I think Rock coming back and embracing being a heel.
Yeah.
Seeing how the crowd reacted and everything is just like, no, he gets it. Yes, I had a plan to be the big baby face to take on Roman, but I get it. Plans need to change sometimes. Go with what the crowd wants. Go with how the crowd's going to react. And so there was a couple of things to look at, though, with that promo last week. A, he was talking about Cody, then stopped referencing Cody and said, at WrestleMania, I will make you a loser. Didn't quite point at Roman, but pointed in his vicinity, and then the camera angle change, which may Roman have been done on purpose.
Turn. Yeah.
Yeah. Made you think he was pointing at Roman. Then, when everyone does the one finger up for the bloodline at the end, he had an L for loser. People, now, some people looked too much into that, and were like, it's not an L, that's a gun, because Cody does the guns for the Bullet Club. I'm like, I think it's more of an L, because he had mentioned loser twice already.
And the Rock on his vest, was that Panther on his back?
Oh, I didn't even pay attention to that.
That's something I heard, like, a little detail, and, like, you can't trust, wait, was that Panther? Oh, my God, let me see. Back of Rock vest, Panther. Let me just double check. Was that Panther?
I got all the images from that SmackDown. I can look and see if I got.
But it's like, you know, you can't trust a Panther. You know, what's the saying? You can't trust a Panther. So it was like the symbolism of that animal on his vest is like,
okay.
It's like you can't trust the Rock. So a lot of people are speculating based on those Easter eggs you just referenced. Is the Rock going to turn on Roman at some point? He's like being a double agent. He is like acting heel to infiltrate the bloodline to ultimately, because he told, you know, Roman, or said the, he told Cody, you're going to walk out a loser. But as you said, pointing towards Roman, so is he going to cost Roman the title, you know, payback and whatnot?
Because the ultimate goal is to still somehow, somewhere get to Rock and Roman.
Exactly. So, do you want to kind of sum up what Meltzer said this week? I know Meltzer's had a lot of different takes the last few weeks, and it's been not a good few weeks for him.
So to sum everything up, Cody's plans have changed three times now. Yep. So according to Dave Meltzer, in the fall, Cody was told, you're getting Roman again. You're going to win the Rumble. You're going to get Roman. Then on January 1st, Rock shows up and drops the head of the table line. January 3rd, Rock then agrees to be a board member for TKO, and that's when they put into the plans of you're going to face Roman at WrestleMania. Cody, still under the impression he's winning the Royal Rumble. Go to the Royal Rumble. Apparently that week or that day of, Cody is told, you're winning the Rumble, but you're not facing Roman at WrestleMania. No, you're not facing Seth either. Punk's going to win the chamber. Punk's going to face Seth. You are going to then say you're going to face Roman. We're going to do an injury angle, and that's when you're going to bring in Rock because you're hurt.
Okay.
But then Punk got hurt. He had to shift. Then they said, okay, you're still not going to face Roman. You're going to face Seth. Then when they had the backlash from the fans on the internet, Rock agreed, I'm going heel. We're not doing it.
They pivot.
And that's when they pivoted and went back to Cody Roman. With the ultimate goal, again, Meltzer said, the ultimate goal still is somehow eventually get to a Rock Roman match, because that's what Rock ultimately wants, is that match with Roman.
Which it's crazy. Like, if you couldn't tell already, I love Cody Rhodes. I want to see him win.
Yes, he's got to
win. It's crazy though, for how many years we've been wanting Rock versus Roman at main event WrestleMania. And theoretically, we're getting this, or we're going to get it, and everyone hated the idea. It's just the timing of it sucked.
Exactly. It's the timing, and because they already had a perfectly built-in storyline for a full year. If this was going into last year's...
2 years since he's been returned to the company.
Yes and no, because, again, he lost to Roman last year, so now the story is getting back to Roman.
Yeah, yeah.
If they would have done Rock and Roman last year... they were supposed to, like it was set up originally, fans would have loved it. Fans would have not been mad at all. But now that you're building up Cody, Cody wants that belt and Cody's going to get back to Roman, but it's going to take him a year. That's why fans are upset, because we invested a year in Cody getting back to Roman. Not
absolutely.
Oh, Cody won the Rumble. Okay, 3 months, whatever. Oh, you're going to change that. So
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the other thing too, a lot of people have been talking about is on that SmackDown, Roman was putting down. Actually, take it back. Raw a couple weeks prior to that, Seth was like really trying to convince Cody, like, listen, I know you want the WWE Championship. That's the title your dad almost won. But he's like, that's the Hollywood title. All this. Yeah. He was really trying to put down the WWE Championship. Like, it's not as prestigious as you think it is. The title I have is the workhorse title. This is the dusty title. This is a title your dad would go after, which to me, it goes back to, like, I kind of wish this current world title that Seth has, I wish they would have picked up the lineage with the previous big gold belt with WWE / WCW.
Which NWA. Technically what ended in 2013 when they merged it with Cena and Orton.
Orton, yes, exactly. So I just kind of wish it's called the world heavyweight title, exactly. Like the big gold belt was, but it doesn't have the same lineage, which I'm like, in the this current design of it looks like a play on the old big gold belt, which I'm still just like, why not just continue the lineage and say, we're going to pick it up 11 or 10, I guess technically 10 years later at that time last year, but 11 years now. Because think about the big gold belt, which came over from WCW, which came from the NWA, which is the NWA title that Dusty Rhodes won 3 times. So Seth's promo would have made more sense. Like, this is the dusty title. This is the belt like your dad actually had.
And
nitpicking.
With all of that, with Seth talking bad about Roman and him never being around, but then Roman saying, I'm never around, but I make more money than you. They inadvertently made me want to see Seth and Roman fight at WrestleMania.
I know. Technically, like, they both got beef with each other. And you think about it, like, Seth is the one guy in the roster who has Roman's number. You know, he got the DQ win at Royal Rumble 2 years ago now when he dressed up like an old Shield outfit. And Seth said, like, you know, I created the Tribal Chief based on the Tribal Chief character is based on not trusting people. And, you know, the people he does have his family around, he wants to hold on to them extra tight. He's so paranoid of being turned on. It all started with Seth when Seth turned on him and left the Shield. So, yeah, you're right. Like, I kind of want to see Seth versus Roman at some point, settle their difference here. And it's like, so could Seth be the one guy that could truly beat Roman all the time? But anyway, Roman on SmackDown was putting down the world title. That's like, or at the press conference, and that's the loser's bracket. These are all the guys who couldn't beat me. That's their title.
She's not wrong. Now.
True. Yeah, I know he's right. But like, and then on SmackDown, he's putting down the title again, the one Seth has. So it's just, he's really like talking crap about this world title. So you're right. Like, Cody should not go after that title because it's beneath him. Like, the WWE Championship is the one he needs to go after to finish his story. The one that his dad never won, especially Roman talking all this ass. Like, it makes sense for him to go after that one. So, but it makes you wonder. I know people are like, rumors and, you know, dirt sheets and Meltzer and all this stuff. Like, the different change of plans. It kind of makes you wonder, was this the plan all along? Because why would Roman keep talking about Seth Rollins and his title if Seth was not going to be involved with Roman at some capacity at WrestleMania, which now looks like a tag team match between Rock, Roman versus Seth and Cody?
I think once Punk got hurt in that Rumble, that's when everything really changed.
Yes, exactly.
And so maybe they weren't ever supposed to have these back and forths with Seth and Roman Reigns on their respective shows talking bad about each other and this and that. But then, you know, once it's like, oh, well, we got to figure out something else for once they pivoted to it might be Cody and Seth. That's when they started throwing the jabs of, no, you're going to face me because my title is more important. No, you're going to face me because my title is more important. So I think really it all just changed when Punk got hurt.
Gotcha. Okay. it's going to be interesting to see what happens next with Roman and The Rock. And, you know, for me, I love seeing The Rock act like 1998 heel corporate Rock. But it's almost like it's a fusion of 98 corporate Rock or heel Rock and like Hollywood Rock from the early 2000s, because kind of the combined look. And, you know, for me, it's like seeing a classic rock band live. You know, they're going to play the hits. So his promo was just playing the hits, a lot of the catchphrases. He didn't say all the catchphrases. I still want this here. Rudy Pooh, candy ass. Oh, yeah. And there's some other lines I want him to say at some point in the coming weeks. So hopefully we'll get that in future episodes of SmackDown. But it's fun. Like, from nostalgia, people my age who grew up in the Attitude Era, it's cool to see The Rock go back to his roots of older character. Keep in mind, also, in the last 2 years, we got to see Stone Cold make an appearance at WrestleMania. And now 2 years later, we got The Rock. So we're getting like the two of the biggest names from the Attitude Era doing stuff with WWE. That's very cool. One criticism I want to ask you with The Rock. Now, he's just playing the hits of 98 Rock. Wouldn't it be better for The Rock if he would have done maybe an updated version of himself as a heel, like a new version?
But what would that be?
Exactly. I just don't know. Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, it's easy from throwing some sunglasses and a expensive, well, in this case.
No, here's the one thing I do have to say about Dave Meltzer. Cause you brought him up a couple of times. You're like, he's gotten some stuff wrong and this and that. The one thing Meltzer has been completely right about that everyone really harped on him for was when he said, if they got to pivot with all this, Dwayne will pivot. Dwayne doesn't care about cheers or boos. He cares about box office, biggest match possible. And everyone's like, no, Rock only cares about being the favorite. Rock only cares about being the one that everybody loves. Well, as we see now, he pivoted. He didn't let everybody hate him. So that was the one thing you do have to give Meltzer props on, that he was right there. Rock doesn't care about cheers or boos. Rock cares about what can we do that's going to do the most numbers and the most money.
Yeah. So, and you got to give The Rock credit, him and was it Brian Gerwitz?
His main creative guy.
To come up this plan. And Rock keeps saying, enjoy the ride. And that's something I think fans
he keeps saying long game.
Long game, enjoy the ride we're about to go on. Cody crybabies, all it's fun. And as convoluted as this all is, and like change of storylines and all these different directions, this chaos actually makes things a lot more fun. Like, what's gonna happen? Like, Triple H, I give him credit as head of creative. Now he's keeping things extra quiet, secret. Like, we didn't know CM Punk was gonna come back. I'm all for just this element of surprise again, bringing back kayfabe that we've not seen in a long time in pro wrestling. So I'm excited. I can't wait. Best time of the year to be a pro wrestling fan, especially for the road to WrestleMania. So it's going to be very exciting. And we're going to see, how more of this plays out. Elimination Chamber and then the Fallout episodes of Raw and SmackDown, respectively. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So, we shall wait and see. And it's going to start in a few hours. So I wrap it up so I can get this posted. So people who are going to stay up and watch it live, you can listen to this first. And then watch the lead right into the kickoff. So on that note, let's start wrapping things up. Tim, thank you again for helping out. Where can the Clicksters find you online?
You can find all my work, Pro Wrestling Unlimited, whether that's on YouTube, youtube.com/ Pro Wrestling Unlimited, or on other social media platforms like Threads, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at PW Unlimited. And then you can just find all my personal stuff at Timmy Buddy.
Absolutely. Please follow Tim. He's amazing, talented person. I can't say it enough for all the stuff you help out with us and with myself. So thank you. But yes, I'm Baby Huey. Follow me on Facebook at Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. Follow In The Click at In The Click on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I will be going to Raw in San Jose this coming Monday. So I will post highlights from Raw on Instagram, kind of similar to what I did for the house show last weekend. So please follow there. If you want to email us, intheclick@gmail.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching this, give this a thumbs up on YouTube. Leave a comment. What are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen with Elimination Chamber? Do you agree with our picks there? And then, subscribe at podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at. And on that note, let's go home. And that's the bottom line, because Huey said so.